Joining us now, Michael Reagan, the son of the former president, Ronald Reagan, to talk about a number of things concerning veterans. But first, Michael, welcome in. Thanks for being with me.
It's good to be with you. Thank you for putting me on.
Glad to have you back. So we're hearing this morning sad news that Colin Powell has passed away, 84 years old. He had COVID. He was fully vaccinated. But I'll tell you what, I thought about him as a president a number of times. He was so solid, so even keel, and just a great leader, and worked with your dad as a national security advisor. Did you ever have the opportunity to meet him or get to know him at all?
Oh, yeah. You can't be a Reagan and not have met Colin Powell. I'm absolutely falling in love with him. I mean, what a great leader and a great man and a great friend to my father. I think my father probably would have broken one of his rules about endorsing the primary if Colin Powell would have said, you know, Mr. President, I'm thinking of running for president of the United States. What do you think? My dad would have said, go for it and I'll endorse you. My dad loved Colin Powell and for every reason in the world. Yeah, you couldn't have met a nicer man than him, and would have been great as a president and had so much support. But he didn't run. But the things that he did do, you know, helping kids and education and what have you,
right.
He was just that kind of a guy.
You know, the presidency is not cut out for everybody. As much as there's some great men and women that would be excellent presidents and a lot of support from the American people to do so, some people just say, that route is not for me, despite the successes I've had in government prior to that. Why do you think Colin Powell never decided to run?
I think part of it is, you're giving up a lot. People don't understand what you get. You give up family. Like I tell people, I've written books. You know, the best times I have with my father prior to government and after government. So, you know, after the presidency and before the presidency, because, you know, I tell people who are going to run for office, what can you tell me? I say, well, the good news is you won. The bad news is you won.
Yeah.
Because you literally have to give up your family. But I remember telling Barack Obama when I met him, at the opening of the Bush Library there in Texas, I said to myself, I disagree with everything you support, but here's what I do support. I like the fact you're still dating your wife and you spend time with your children. It's so important, that kind of leadership.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, your constituency, the people who elect you, think you need to spend more time with them and less time with your family. And those Saturdays you used to have with the children disappear because you got to be at this fundraiser or that fundraiser or whatever.
Right.
I think Colin made that decision that, you know, I see the work that goes on because I've been working with the president, President Reagan. I don't want to give up my family. I'll help, but I don't want to run for president. And I think that's what a lot of people make.
Well, it's certainly understandable. And, you know, you hear a lot of that about coaches in college football at the high level in programs in the SEC, the Power Five schools. You know, my son coaches at Ole Miss, and he was told by Kirby Smart, the head coach at Georgia right now, when he was at Alabama, when Michael mentioned, I might want to get into coaching if I don't go to the NFL. And he said, well, get ready to give up what know and love as family. You're not going to divorce or you won't, you know, not be around your kids. But those games on Saturday, T-ball, those high school games on Friday nights, say goodbye to those. Rarely will you get to attend any of those events if you end up in a high-level coaching situation. So it's something that he had to weigh, but his wife obviously is all on board with him coaching, and they're having a baby in February. So there's going to be challenges, no doubt about it. But he was given that advice by a number of, you know, big-time coaches that you really need to think twice about this. So
make sure you give him tickets on Saturday.
Right, exactly. All right. Continuing our conversation with former President Ronald Reagan's son, Michael Reagan. As Veterans Day is approaching, Michael, you have done so much work in helping veterans over the years, whether it's with PTSD, preventing suicides, honoring veterans. We've got so few World War II vets left. I think, you know, most of them, they're in their 90s now and older than that. So important to continue to honor them and all veterans as we get closer and closer to Veterans Day.
It really is. And what happens in America, unfortunately, our span of attention lasts about a minute and a half. And unfortunately, it seems like we only honor veterans like 3 days a year. Veterans Day, Memorial Day, you know, D-Day, and then that's it. We've gone on to something else. We need to honor these veterans every single day. And one of the ways I've done it in the past, you know, prior to COVID, now with all this stuff, but what I've done is, you know, when I get asked to give a speech somewhere or whatever, or I'm flying by myself, I'm flying, you know, first class or business, when a member of the military steps on that plane, you know, I get up from my seat and I give him my ticket. I say, you sit here, give me your ticket, and I go sit and coach.
And I love that.
I tell you, how many people can do that? I mean, what a great way to honor them. Give up your seat. So you're not flying first class. You're going to be coached. But the guy who's, you know, saving America, you're sitting in coach. Put him in first class. Put her in first class. And make him feel good. And give up something of yourself. Too often we wait, you know, what are you going to do for me? Well, they've already done something for you. Now do something for them. Give up their seat for a minute and embrace them. You know, you could do that all year long as planes are taking off and landing and so on. You do it all year long, and that's what we do.
You know, it's something that I think we do with military and probably need to do more of it with law enforcement, especially what they're going through with this whole defund the police movement across this country these days. When you say thank you for your service, do veterans take that in stride and just kind of, okay, whatever, thanks? Or does that really mean something to them when somebody says something like that?
Oh, I think it does mean something to them when you take a moment and say thank you for your service. I mean, like, you know, you ought to see the tears that come in their eyes. You know, our brick project we have at St. Mary Glees, Normandy, France, the walkway to victory, and you have the names of these World War II vets who served in the European theater, their names engraved in stone. And they're visiting, or their families are visiting, and see their grandfather's name in stone, or the great grandfather's name in stone of serving. It brings tears to their eyes because it's, God, somebody cares about me. It might have been a family member that bought that brick that's inlaid at St. Mary Glees, Normandy, France, at the Airborne Museum. Or it might have been someone who said, you know, I want to sponsor someone, and they send a check to Reagan Legacy Foundation and put you know, brick project in the memo, and we go out and find that soldier, and we get the brick. But you get all the information from that soldier, how they served, what they served, what their story is, and you get the picture of the brick, and you get the video and all that. So you could say, wow, I sponsored that person who couldn't have done it themselves or didn't have a family member alive to sponsor it. You could do it. And that's how we do it. And what's interesting is you buy a brick through the Walkway to Victory program that we have. It's $250 for a brick, and we pay it forward. And so any extra money left over from that ends up going to a scholarship program we have for the men and women who serve aboard the USS Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pay it forward to that next generation in education for them. And that's what we need to do. You know, I can go say thank you to a vet, but you instill that also in your kids. I remember I learned about the military. I learned about all of that sitting in the right front seat of a red station wagon, my dad driving out to the ranch, regaling me with the Marine Corps hymn and all the Army, up, up and away, the Coast Guard. I mean, all these stories as a child. I'm 8 years old driving out, and my dad's doing this. And my sister Maureen and I, we kind of chuckled when Dad ran for president. We said, I think he's going for his Eagle badge.
Getting the Eagle badge. I love that. I love that. Well, you know, that phrase etched in stone means so much. And if you can get the brick for them, and just keep that memory alive forever, basically. What a nice honor and good thing to do. So where do people find out more about how to make a difference?
Go to walkwaytovictory.com. That's the Brick Project. You want to find about the Reagan Legacy Foundation, ReaganLegacyFoundation.org. If you want to purchase a brick for someone else, or where we go out and find that member of the military who served, just write a check to Reagan Legacy Foundation in the memo, put Brick Project, and the money will go right to that.
All right, Michael, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for being back with us. Michael Reagan, the son of the former president, Ronald Reagan. Once again, walkway.com. To victory.com.